Isn't it funny that no matter how far mankind progresses, man still seems to return to his default? The box. The road most traveled. And no matter where you build a pool in the world, will most occupy the shallow end. Maybe it's because there's just something beautiful about this box. The way we're able to find it predictable, find a commonality in it, a common language that allows us to understand people's stories just by their dialect, this social norm that allows all of us to operate in each other's comforts. There's just something about this box that we find absolutely irresistible. Maybe it's because we can build on it. It's sturdy enough to be built on. I mean, you can build a plan on it, you can build a routine, you can know what's gonna happen, not just today, but tomorrow. You can make sure that you have financial wisdom and making sure you plan out all your movements, what time to pick your kids up, how exactly to get everything done on your bullet list. There's just something about staying within the box that allows everything to stay nice and tidy. You know how to win with the box. It's kinda like that show, that game Tetris, right? Like drop boxes on boxes on boxes and you can actually begin to wield. I know there's kids in the audience right now. It is Mother's Day, so I imagine that some kids right now looking at their mom and saying, "Mom, what is Tetris?" How do you win with the box, though? This is real life. How do you win within the box? Well, that's a much more difficult question. Because life is not a game. Although some people may try to pretend like it is. And that's why we've been talking about this topic of risky business. And I love what Tinsley said last week when he was looking at the man named Peter and essentially took us back to this miraculous story. And every time I hear that story, it gives me chills because every time I've read it, I put myself in Peter's shoes and they're sitting out in this boat and they look out on the water and there's a man walking on the water. And it's this miraculous moment that sure, nowadays we're like, how crazy must that have looked? But we can truly put ourselves in his situation, looking out saying, this must be a ghost, beginning to panic, and that person crying out and saying, it's not a ghost, it's me. And they say, it's Jesus. And Peter in this moment gets excited and he says, I'm an adventurer, I'm a wild person, I'm ready to jump out this boat. He says, Jesus, call me out beyond the boat. And Jesus says, come on, you can walk on water too, hop out the boat. And Peter, just as fast as he's excited, takes his first step out of the boat, and just as fast as he was excited, he becomes afraid and his faith begins to waver in the waves. And just as fast as he steps, he begins to sink. God finally reaches out and says, why? Why didn't you trust me? But when I think back, I say, if I was in the boat, I'd have been just like Peter. I mean, I'm pretty much an adventurer. All my friends know that I'm an adventurer. And if Jesus was my friend, first off, that's awesome. But if he was my friend and he was standing on water, I would absolutely say, Jesus, call me out. I'm trying to walk on water. And he would have said, Joseph, step out of the boat and you can get in water too. And I would have said, I'm 100% stepping out of this boat. Somebody hold my phone. Hold my phone and make sure you're recording. I got to make sure I get this moment just right because I'm about to walk on water. Put this on Instagram. And then I would have got to the edge of the boat and I said, it's game time, are you recording? I'm recording, okay, make sure you're recording, this is the moment. I'll say, Jesus, you got me. He said, let's go. And I would have probably done the same thing Peter did. I said, okay, all right. I said, all right, I'm about to do this. He said, okay, I was like, okay, I'm about to do it. And I would have probably just said, okay. I said, now can you come a little closer just in case I fall? He said, no. I said, okay. Okay. And I would probably just, it's a little colder. It's a little colder. Can you heat up the water a little bit like a jacuzzi? Like, get it a little bit warmer to like a little more comfortable. He just says, step out. I said, step out. I'm stepping. And I said, okay, I'm about to do this. Jesus is about to do this right now. So keep recording. And I'd have probably stepped out. And I'd have probably felt the same thing Peter felt. I probably would have begun to feel fear. Because as my feet began to walk on water, I can't imagine thinking at any moment I can sink. This is our first time meeting. My name is Joseph, and I will not stand on this stage and act as if I'm any better than Peter, because reality is what Peter felt is what so many of us feel when stepping in the deep, far from the shallow end. And we're thinking it's just us out here now. It's just me and my dreams It's just me and the one thing that everybody said, that seems like a far-fetched idea. I'm not sure you can do it. It's just me taking the risk, putting my life in my hands and saying, God, I'm trusting you with as much as I can. But reality is, when you actually start walking that out versus just talking it out, when you begin to walk it out, well, it becomes something completely different. It becomes something much more scary. And I know that for a fact because I think back to this moment when I was once in Florida and I was on this vacation and essentially I went down to the beach and I said, I want to have some fun. And so I saw a jet ski. I said, I've never jet skied before. I think I'm ready to do this today. Today's the day I hop on a jet ski. If I could go back, I probably would have started on a lake. I don't think the ocean was the best place for me to go ahead and start. But I said, you know what? I don't even know that. So I'm hopping on. I said, how much is it? He says, it's $50 for 30 minutes. I said, that is an incredible hustle you got, brother. Must commend you. That is a really great rate you've got for this jet ski. I'd probably pay that off within a month. I said, okay, I'm in. I said, here's my $50, and I'm feeling good. And he puts me on the jet ski. He kind of pushes me out. You know the process. They kind of push you out, and they said, we got to get you a little bit past the shallow end so that you can begin to go because there's too many people in the shallow end, of course. And so he pushes me out just beyond the shallow end, and I begin to go. And when I tell you I go, I said, oh, baby, I'm ready to go. I paid $50. I'm about to get my $50 worth, okay? And so I'm going to pull this thing back. I give it as much gas as it can, and I mean, I'm going. I'm shooting out, and I'm looking down and it's sky blue, crystal blue water, and I'm looking down at this beautiful sand underneath, and I'm thinking, this is incredible. I'm going, I don't know, it feels like I'm going 300 miles an hour. I mean, it's just jetting all the way out, and I'm going and I'm going, and it probably was about 10, 12 minutes top speed, and I look down again and the water is no longer crystal blue. Some of you know exactly what it looks like now. It is pitch black. And I remember I looked down and I, you know, you immediately come off the gas. And I remember in that moment, I remembered precisely what I thought. I said, there is a shark under me right now. If I fall off this jet ski, they're circling under me. And they're saying, dinner time, dinner time. This idiot went too far out. He's in our territory now. And I remember I looked back, and I couldn't even see the land. I couldn't even see the people anymore. And I thought, I have gone too far into the deep. This plan is going to backfire. And I'm gonna die. And I remember I kind of turned it like 2 miles an hour. And I remember the fear begins to grip me because now it's playing out. I mean, my mind is a tad bit too cinematic. I'm too imaginative for my own good. And I begin to really play out. I said, if I flip this thing over, it's gonna be a brutal, it's gonna be red water and everything. It's gonna be horrible. And I can't die in Panama City Beach. That is not the way I can end this tale. And I remember I essentially started going by, and I'm going back all the way to the shore, and I'm inching my way back. I mean, I'm not going any bit fast because I said, if I flip, I die, and I'm going to make sure I make it back. I make it all the way back to the sand. I get off that thing. He looks at me and says, hey, man, you've only been out for like 15 minutes. You definitely have 15 minutes more. You paid $50. I said, you're right, and I'm happy I made it back. I almost died out there. And he said, well, you're not going to get a refund. It's $50. There's no return. I said, listen, my life is worth more than $50, brother. Keep your hustle going and live another day. And I remember thinking, I mean, I got an adventurous heart, but maybe I'm not as adventurous as I thought. I took a personality test the other day. I tested 51% adventurous, 49% safe. And I said, that's a pretty good number. I feel like that's responsible. I feel like that's like grown, but not too grown, but still grown nonetheless. I said, I feel like I'm the person on the weekend when my friends look at me, I'm like, okay, this is the weekend that we're gonna ball out. We're gonna ball hard, turn down for what? And then like when everything starts rolling, I'm like, okay, that's what I'm saying, let's do this. And I'm like, but wait a minute, don't click on that hotel. I think that's a tad bit outside of my realm of budget. Let's make sure that we can think of some other things. Hey, let's make sure that we are more responsible. Everybody's slow down. I mean, this is me, the duality that I kind of walk in, but if we were to be honest, so many of you walk in the same thing. The adventurous heart, but when you begin walking it out, well, maybe you're not quite as adventurous as you thought. Because no one wants to be said, no one wants it said of them, well, you've gone off the deep end. It's a term that we oftentimes use, and we say, I don't want that said about me. No. I mean, if it comes to trying something new on my child when it comes to parenting, I'm not sure if I want to be the first to do it. If it comes from me jumping out for the dream, I'm not sure that I'm the one that's cut out for it. And so many of us begin to wrestle with this idea of everyone seems to be in the shallow end. I'm looking out at all the possibilities in the deep end, but let's just be honest. The shallow end is the safest place to admire things in the deep without actually having to go in the deep. Because we all know when you go to the deep, things get a lot more scary. And you begin to say, I'm ready to chase my dreams. I'm ready to jump out there and get out of my comfort zone. And you begin to run toward it, and just as fast as you run, you fall. And things don't go as according to plan.
And you begin to say, I'm gonna take that risk, but sure enough, that risk ends up backfiring and you lose that money and you say, gosh, things aren't going according to plan. Or you take that extra parenting step that you've never taken before and your kids don't react the way that they thought that you would react, that they don't react the way you thought they would react. And sure enough, you start saying, I think I made all the wrong choices, and you end up falling on your face, publicly humiliated, and people begin looking at you and they say, why did you make that decision? Why are you thinking so far out of the box? Who do you think you are? And in the face of failure, what's familiar feels irresistible. It begins to call you. It begins to beckon you back. And you start saying, maybe I'm not cut out for this deep side. Maybe I just need to go back to what I know. I had a plan before. I knew the safest options. I knew what I've done weeks before, years prior. I know where I've been. It's easier for me to just go back to that path out here. I don't know what I'm doing out here in the deep end. Maybe I'm just not as strong as I thought, but this is something I know. This is something that's just so beautiful. It's so predictable. It's so routine. And in the face of failure, what's familiar feels seductive, irresistible. I've had a chance to minister now for over a decade. And I can't tell you how many men I sit in front of and they say, in the face of failure, I went back to something I know I shouldn't have. I returned to a behavior I knew that wasn't healthy. I returned to a job that I knew only pulled the worst out of me. I continued to do something that I knew I needed to stop. I returned to that substance abuse. I knew what was best for me. I knew that I should keep going, but honestly, I had failed once. I had dealt with the humility. I had dealt with the grief. I had dealt with the depression. I had dealt with the anxiety as much as I could, and it overwhelmed me. And in that moment when I was in my lowest place and nobody was there around me, I saw it again. I said, I'll just go back. Then they make a decision that doesn't line up with their true character. Because in the face of failure, what's familiar feels irresistible. We all have moments where we say we just didn't make it the way we would. We thought we would. And that feeling of depression, that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of guilt or even shame that some of us maybe even walked in this room with is what allows this to continue to beckon to us. Is what allows all of us to struggle with saying, should I continue going forward? Should I continue to run towards my dreams? Or should I just choose from this day forward to live the safe, cautious, predictable, routine life? Which down the road, we all know what will happen. We'll wake up one day and say, I don't feel like I'm really living my best life. I don't feel like I'm living what God intended for me. Is there more? What must it look like? When I was young, I used to dream of the deep. But the older we get more strategic. I know this for a fact. We begin to weigh our options and say, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm too old, too far along in my life. And we forget that God oftentimes waits for us in the deep end, not the shallow. And as we look at the life of Peter, much beyond just the boat where he stepped out and had his miraculous moment, when we actually look at the entire life of Peter, this process of Peter, we begin to realize that he's not that different than ourselves. Peter is going on a journey, and he's just a normal fisherman, a fisherman who makes not too much money, but enough to be able to get by. And Peter understands just how to fish, and at the beginning he's called Simon, but it isn't until he meets Jesus that he's renamed Peter, which stands for the rock. But at this point in his life, he's just Simon, and he has a brother named Andrew. And one day while he's out fishing, he's getting done, and Andrew runs up to him, and you won't believe what Andrew says. A normal everyday fisherman, probably dirty, not as educated as he would be, not even educated in the law, so we can't expect him to do great things because he doesn't even know what life is like beyond his little village. Not educated at all, dirty fisherman. And his brother comes up to him and says, you won't believe this? I've met the Messiah, the one we've all been waiting for. His name is Jesus. You've got to let me take you to him. And he says, absolutely. And they run along and they meet Jesus. And what's beautiful is in this time, oftentimes people will come near and far to be around wise rabbis. And they would oftentimes put their best foot forward to try and prove themselves to the rabbi. And eventually that person, after proving themselves time and time again, would say, Rabbi, if you would, may I please continue to study under you? May I please follow you? And the rabbi would then make a decision and say yes or no. That's how typically things went. And so as these fishermen approach Jesus and he begins talking to them and they realize this is the Messiah, they're anticipating on putting their best foot forward. They're saying, okay, we got to begin to prove ourselves. We have to go through this process. And Jesus does something that's contradictory to normal rabbis. He says, would you follow me? What? And from the start, he gives them the chance to follow him. And they're fishermen. What do you think they say? They say the same thing we would say if you were given the dream job. If you were given that opportunity, which some of you have already prayed for, and you say, Jesus, if you give me this job, Jesus, if you give me this opportunity, Jesus, if you get my kid in this school, Jesus, if you let me get this new car or this new house or this new opportunity, I promise I'm gonna follow you to the end. I'm gonna show up to Decatur City every week. I'm gonna learn all those songs without the lyrics on the screen. I'm gonna follow you all the way, Jesus. And he says, okay, and he grants it to you. And what happens after month, after month, after 2 months, after 3 months, you begin to lose that ambition. You begin to drift away to the familiar. And the same thing happened to Peter. He got the dream job. And that day they're following along and they say, we made it. Two fishermen are walking with the Messiah. Can you believe it? And somewhere along that journey, they begin to fade away. That was in John. Because by the time we get to Matthew, well, Matthew recounts another situation with Peter further down the road. And at this point, he's now following Jesus. He's got his brand new job. He's like, I'm one of Jesus's friends. And Jesus has gone away for 40 days. And he's gone away and he's begun to wrestle with the devil and he overcomes. But as he's gone for 40 days, we sure enough can get a snapshot of Peter. And he's brand new to this job. He hasn't been along the journey that far. And Peter does what so many of us would do in this situation. If you took a new job and your boss disappeared for 40 days, I mean, you yourself would even be like, is this the right job? Should I keep doing this? Where is the boss? And do we have a plan? Listen, no, the boss has gone up in the mountains to discover something. We're like, well, what is he discovering? Can somebody give us some information? I know what I used to make out there on the water. I had a plan before I came over here. I know he told me to follow. I know he told him to trust, but I can just get back out there on water and make a quick buck. And Peter goes back out. Peter and Andrew actually go back out. And they say, listen, I tried this thing. It's 40 days. I don't know where he's at. But I gotta get back out here and get back to my routine. I gotta go ahead and make money. And right on this time, Jesus comes down from the mountain after wrestling with the devil, making some incredible stories that we oftentimes like to talk about in this stage and talk about the conversation between him and devil. That happened. But then there's the moment as he's returning and he sees his friends that had already moved on, back on the water, forgetting what he had told them. Wait for me, follow me. I have so much more. And this is where the scene picks up in Matthew, and it sounds like this. He returns and is walking along the Lake of Galilee, and he sees Andrew and Simon, who were casting their nets in the lake because they were fishermen. Why were we out there in the water, Jesus? Because we're fishermen, okay? I didn't know where you went. I had to go back to what I know how to do. I've done it since I was a kid. I had a game plan. Don't worry about me. I got myself. Some of us say it to this day. He returns to walking along the Lake of Galilee, sees Andrew and Simon were casting nets because they were fishermen. And Jesus says, come, follow me. I will send you out to fish for people. He said, whoa. He says, come on. He looks out. He said, what are you doing? Don't you see what I have in store? And they said, no, you were gone for 40 days. I will let you fish for people. And what do? They cast their nets down and followed him. And we say, ah, now they see it. Yeah, they turned away once. Yeah, they turned away twice. But now Peter and Andrew, they see it. Peter's now running. Peter is now fully embracing his name, the rock, the cornerstone of the church. Now Peter becomes the man that we all see. Now we can begin to say Peter turns into a superhero. No, that's not true at all. Because now we have Luke, who writes another story of Peter, who somewhere else along the journey says, time is getting hard. I'm not quite sure what Jesus' plan is. And this time, Jesus is walking along the shore, and he looks over another day, and he sees Peter cleaning his nets from the night before. And Jesus, looking at Peter, looks at a crowd of people waiting for him to give a sermon. And he walks over to Peter, and he says, hey, the crowd of people pushed their way all the way to the shore. I need to get out in a boat, and I need to sit in front of them so that my voice can project over every single one of them. Can I actually get in your boat, and can you pull me to the shallow end so that I can talk to these people, to the mass crowds? And he says, absolutely. And Jesus hops in his boat and he pulls Jesus in front of all the people and Jesus begins to preach to them. And sure enough, people are awakened and people love it. And then they go on their way. And this is the moment I love. After he's done preaching, he looks at Peter. And I'd imagine Peter was sitting there like, oh, it's good, Jesus, good job. Killed it. Good sermon, good word. And Jesus looks at him and says, pull out to the deep end. And I love what Peter says because he talks to him like a friend. He says, look, Jesus, honestly, I've been out all night long. Confession, I'll be real. I was out all night long fishing. I haven't caught anything, not even a minnow, he says. And Jesus looks and says, Pull out to the deep end and cast your net again. He says, if you tell me to cast my net, sure, I'll do it again. Here's what's incredible as I researched this time that they were living in. The lake that Peter was on only had two species of fish. Peter had been fishing for those two species his entire life, and they only came out at night. They didn't come out during the day. So he was trying to tell Jesus, listen, I'm a fisherman. You're not really a fisherman. I know how this works. They only come out at night. It's now like noon after your sermon. It went a little long. So to be honest with you, I don't think they're going to be out, and I don't think I should be casting my net. And Jesus says, go out to the deep, put your net in the water, and watch me. And he puts his net in the water, and this is what happens next, according to the account in Luke. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat, and they came and to come and help. And their boats were so filled that they began to sink. And in this moment, he's realizing this doesn't make any sense. This is not how this fish moves. This is not common. This is yet another miracle. And in the face of another miracle, in the face of Jesus, now in his boat, Peter says this. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me. Lord, I am a sinful man. I'm not cut out for it. I'm trying. I've been trying. I know I keep failing you. I know I keep taking my life back in control. I know I keep telling you I'm all in. I know, but I keep getting scared. I keep returning to what I know because it's all that I know. And I know you keep proving it to me, but I think you should just let me go. You probably should have chosen somebody way more educated, somebody that had their life together way more than me. I'm just a failure. And Jesus in this moment could have said, yeah, you keep on failing me. I definitely chose the wrong person. But he doesn't say that. Jesus says this instead. And Jesus said, Simon, don't be afraid. For now you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats ashore again, left everything again, and followed him. So oftentimes, I talk to people and they say, I want to do the Christian thing, but I'm not trying to leave everything for Jesus. I've worked so hard in life. I've accumulated this much in life. I've accomplished this much in life. And you're telling me that God wants me to just give everything up for him? And I said, no. That's not the way that Jesus works. As you read story after story, even this story included with Peter. Peter is thinking, I'm trying to give up being a fisherman, but Jesus, I'm so good at it. It's all I know. And when I get scared, I go back to what he said. I'm not telling you to give up everything. I'm telling you to give me everything. You keep putting your net in the water, looking for purpose. I'm talking to somebody. You keep returning to what you know because you know you're good at it. And he's saying, I know you're good at it. I know you're good, but put me in the boat. If you're looking for a real catch, put me in the boat. Oh, I've been catching these two species of fish my whole life. I know how to catch these two fish. And do you think that's what I put you on this planet to do? Catch two types of fish? No. No, I'm gonna make you fish for people in ways that you never, ever could imagine. Welcome to the deep. And at this point, he leaves everything. And he says, I'm following Jesus. Which sets us up perfectly for the final act. The final few days, Jesus is walking this planet. He gathers his friends around. And they're sitting at what they call, or what we call, the Last Supper. And he says, one of you will betray me, and he identifies the one. And then he looks at Peter, who has now become the leader of all the disciples, the one that all of them look to as strength. He's proven himself time and time again. They've been through the entire journey for years walking with Jesus. They've seen countless miracles. And now Peter has proven himself. He says, I'm his best friend. I'm the one that has his back. And they say, yeah, Peter, we can trust you. You truly are the rock. And in that moment, Jesus looks at Peter and says, and you will deny me three times. And you can imagine the shockwave it sent through the table. And everyone said, our leader? And sure enough, Peter says, no, that was the old me. I know I made a lot of errors in my younger days, but Jesus, I'm all in. I know exactly how this works. I'm not gonna let you down at all. I promise you, I would surely die before I denied that you were my best friend. We're best friends. You don't have to worry about that at all. And Jesus says, come on, follow me. I need to go pray. I need to have my time with God. And while I pray, can you stay awake? And if you know how the story goes, Peter tried his best, but all of them fell asleep. When they woke up, they saw their friends surrounded by soldiers being taken away for his crucifixion.
And Peter is running after Jesus, and he's going as far as he can until finally he reaches his limit and he can't go any further because now the gates are right in front of him, and he's standing there in front of a fire and he's watching his best friend carried beyond these gates, and he knows exactly what lies ahead. Oh, behind those gates lies his persecution, lies his judgment, and lies his death. And he realizes, I can't go any further. And in the smell of the fire is hitting his nostrils, as he's smelling that, a person looks at him and says, aren't you the friend of Jesus? No, that's not me. He's trying to survive. He doesn't know what to do. Everything's happened so fast. He's probably still trying to shake off the sleep. He's like, I don't know what's going on. And somebody else says, no, I'm pretty sure that you are the friend of Jesus. And no, that's not me. And essentially right now, he's like, I just need to make sure that I make it. I'm pretty sure you're the friend of Jesus. No, you got the wrong guy. I don't know who I am anymore. 3. And he watches him judged. And he watches him beaten, broken, nailed to a cross, crucified, and killed, buried. The guilt, the shame, the failure. In the face of great failure, what's familiar will feel irresistible. I failed my friend, betrayed my friend, watched him die, slept on the job. He's gone. What? And in this moment, he looks at the other disciples and says, I'm not who I thought I was. I'm going back fishing. I'm going back out there on the water. And they said he gathered some of them, persuaded them, and said, y'all want to come with me? And some of them said, yeah, because what else are we going to do? I mean, we know he says he's coming back, and we've had signs that he's definitely going to be back, but what are we supposed to do now? We're just kind of sitting in this limbo, and honestly, nothing went according to plan. They hit the water again, and they go back out, and they cast their nets, and they catch nothing. But as I read the scripture again, I realized that Peter was different this time in the water. As I began to look at the scripture again, I said, I don't think Peter was in the same mindset. I think Peter was aware that he failed Jesus and he might feel like a failure on the inside and deal with all those feelings of shame and guilt. But I think Peter said, no. I got to go back to where he met me before. I got to go back and recreate this moment, because out there is where he met me, and I can either stand here in the shallow and I can stay right here and wallow in all my pain and wallow in all my guilt and say that maybe I don't have what it takes, or maybe I can get back out there in the deep waters and say, God, if you showed up for me once, if you were there for me in my life, then maybe, just maybe, you'll show up again, and maybe you'll begin to show me what I'm supposed to do in this chapter, because I'm feeling like I'm a failure. I'm feeling like I don't have what it takes, but I need you right now. God, I need you to show up for me. And as they're casting their nets and not catching anything, I'd imagine all of his friends were getting frustrated and saying, we can't even fish anymore. We're failures at fishermen. But Peter is just staring at the shore. And he says, this isn't about fish. This isn't about nets. This is about me looking at my box and realize that the way I was thinking before needs to be shattered. And now I'm realizing that I need to remain in him, not inside of a box. No, I'm waiting on God, because if he showed up for me once, he will show up for me again. And he kept his eyes through the night staring at the shore, saying, I know he's going to make it. He's all I got now. And daybreak comes, and there's a man standing on the shore, looking out. What I love is that Jesus says, oh, you want to make a moment? Oh, I'll show up in your moment. I'll show up on your Sunday. If you dedicate yourself to going there and getting deep, I'll show up. And he stands on the shore, and he says, hey. And they all look up. Did you guys catch anything? Can you imagine his heart? Do-do. Wait. And his friend said, no, we didn't catch anything. We've been out all night long. Thanks, man. But Peter's like, this is it. Sure enough, he says, cast your nets in the water. This time, put them on the right side of the boat. You'll catch something. And they said, okay. And they cast their nets in the water. And fish begin to fill up their nets so much that it begins to tow the entire boat down. And they begin to realize, oh my goodness, this could not be what we think it is. And sure enough, his friend looks at him and says, Peter, that's the Lord. But they said that Peter had already wrapped his shirt around his waist and had jumped overboard and was swimming ahead of the boat. He was already swimming back to shore, because he said, I knew it. I knew you wouldn't let me down. I knew you would come back for me. And they said Peter was swimming so fast that the boat was rowing behind him, and they couldn't even catch him. And sure enough, Peter makes his way back to land, and he runs, and he's looking at his friend who is sitting at a fire with fish, and he says, go ahead and bring me your fish, even though I've already made you fish right now. I already got it. I don't really need it, but sure, go ahead. And he sits in front of Jesus, and he's looking at him. And he says, it's you. He said, yep. And they begin to have this breakfast, this beautiful, beautiful breakfast. And Jesus says, you made a moment. You decided to wait for me in the deep. Now watch me make a moment with you. And in this moment, Jesus asks him three times a question. Over the fire, the smell that he remembered when he betrayed his best friend, Jesus asks these questions. And he says this. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lamb. One. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. Two. He said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And in the translation, he used a different word for love this time. He essentially said, Simon, are you my friend? Are we friends? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And that's it. Let go of the guilt. Let go of the shame. It's time for you to go. You're different now. I know why you were out there. You're waiting for me. And I came back to look at you in the eyes and say it three times. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love people? Do you love me? Yes. I love people. Are we friends? Yes. To be the friend of people. And Paul goes on to build a church that still gathers today. A church that still meets and tells the tale of a dirty fisherman who couldn't get right for most of his journey, but finally realized, I'm done with the box. I'm done with my old way of thinking. I'm ready for more. And this morning, I'm calling on the Peters in the room. Because maybe you've dealt with failure, you've dealt with betrayal, you've dealt with shame, you've dealt with guilt, and you looked at yourself this morning as you woke up and looked in the mirror and you said, I'm not sure who I am anymore. I'm not sure why I can't find happiness. I'm not sure what exactly I'm going to get when I go to church today. But what I will do is I will get in this boat. I will go all the way to Decatur City. I will sit out here in the deep and I will wait for God because I don't even know what I'm waiting for. I don't know exactly what's to come. I don't know what exactly his plan is for my life. But I do know that I've been going by myself the entire way and I've been one foot in and one foot out. And from this day forward, I'm going all out. I'm going all out into the deep and I'm waiting for God right here. And I'm saying, God, if you've been for me yesterday, if you were there for me in my youth before I even understood how you worked, if you were there for me when I did not know how to feed myself and did not know exactly what was to come or exactly what was on the horizon, if you showed up for me then God, I need you to show up for me right now, today. Someone in this room is here for that. This is your moment. And you're like, yes, I need you. And my prayer for you is tomorrow, as the day breaks. And maybe, just maybe, you'll feel him for the first time again. And you'll feel his love. And he'll look at you and he'll say, did you get some sleep? And you'll say, no, not really. I didn't really get any sleep. And I want to go over a couple things with you. I just want to let you know I did give everything to you yesterday at Decatur. And I'm going to go ahead and give you my children. I do want you to watch out for Charlie, though. He's a crazy one. So I'm going to give you a couple stats you need to know about him. I also want to talk to you about my job. Okay, I'm ready to quit that thing. But I need you to kind of tell me what I'm supposed to do with that. I am handing it to you, but I'm not happy about handing it to you. I have a couple more plans I have for my future, my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan. I'm going to hand that to you, God. I'm not really sure exactly how this works, but I am all in. I mean, I said I was going to be all in. So I'm going to try and be like Peter. This is my walk on water moment. Jesus, here, take it. But kind of tell me what exactly is happening next. Tell me what we are supposed to do now. That's what I would have said. I'm in. Just want to go over a couple things. What happens next?
And I don't know what he'll say to you. But if there's anything like the stories, he'll probably say, let's start with breakfast. I got something cooking for you already. Thanks for giving me all that. But I already have some things for you. And as you sit down, I'd imagine he gazed in your eyes. And he said, I just got a couple questions I gotta ask you. These are just the basics. You love me? Yeah. But let's talk about how to love others. You love me, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about how to love others. We're friends now, right?
Yeah.
Good. Let's start by loving and being a friend to others. And then we'll toe out a little further into the deep. Just wait and see what I have for you. Let me pray for us. God, there are some people in this room who are used to their schedule, who've made their routine, who have their 5-year plan to 10-year plan. There are some people with dreams inside, young, old, who are saying, do I have what it takes? I feel insecure. I feel like I'm not enough. And there are people in this room that are sitting in here saying, this is me waiting in the deep, God. I'm not going back to my box. I'm not going back to my vice. I'm not going back to what held me in the past. This is me saying, I'm ready to start new. I'm waiting here for you in the deep, I'm giving you everything. God, for those people, I pray you give them the courage to begin to continue to walk it out. And when times get hard and they're faced with failure and what's familiar begins to look irresistible, I pray that they remember now that you should look irresistible because you were with us then, you're with us today, and you will remain with us tomorrow. And that is when life begins to look drastically different. And we begin to understand what it looks like to walk with purpose, following a God that has a plan bigger than anything we could have for ourselves. And in that, we can change Decatur. In that, we can change Georgia. And maybe in this room, there's somebody who can change the world. We give you all the praise in your son Jesus' name. Amen.